Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, baby. Rolling into hour number two inside the Kia studios. This hour of the show brought to you by Kia. Go to KiaDealers.com. Pretty cool. We just heard from, former Detective Quinn of Atlanta Homicide. Carl was just talking about it off the air with me. Show that my wife turned me on to because she loves all the procedural cop dramas. And this is all about stuff that's happened right here in Atlanta. It's on TV1. So check your provider, see where it's at. But we're going to try to get these dudes in studio.
Yeah, David hit me. Detective David Quinn. He hit me back. And he just basically said, man, we'd love to do the show. We'll make sure it happens. So once that goes down, it could be next week sometime. But we'll let you guys know. But it's just a really cool show. Again, showcasing the prowess of two detectives here in Atlanta, two homicide guys. But the crazy thing is, you know, all the good things about our city is I think the show starts out, Mike, and he talks about there's an underbelly.
it's just kind of really cool to see. It's kind of fun because, oh, I know where that is. Okay, they're over here. And you see them driving around town, or they're in Buckhead, they're in Midtown, yada, yada. But all the different scenarios, and especially when it's like a cold case, and they got to go find, like, you find a body behind a woods behind an apartment complex, and they work that. That was one you just watched the other night. So I love that stuff. I can't get enough of that, especially when it's real, as opposed to stuff on CBS, which is crap, but people still love to watch. You know,
you talking about CSI?
Oh, dude, please don't even get me started.
You talking about CSI?
I never knew that a morgue looked like a nightclub, but I guess that's how they do it in Vegas.
Hey, man, we are brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. We got plenty more to get to, including our interview with Dave Archer coming up here at 3:20. Dave's going to join us in studio, so we'll talk to him about a variety of things. He's at practice today, and Falcons back on the field practicing and getting ready for their first preseason game. You know, you've been bringing this up, and then we're going to get to our NFL blitz, but you've been talking a lot about, I don't want to say a jump, I guess, to see Vic Beasley get back to a level of play, sustainability that you go, hey, that's what we expect from Vic. I think for a lot of fans last year, and again, it wasn't all his fault. He was hurt a little bit, then they moved him around, and he was just trying to help the team. But I think for some Falcon fans, you're going, all right, man, what's the expectation for Vic Beasley?
I mean, this is year four in his NFL career. You know, he's a guy that we know what he's capable of. 4 sacks, 15 and a half, 5 sacks. Now, there's more to football than just sacks. Remember Mike Smith? Sacks are overrated. But as far as tackles, making plays, you know, just getting those stops behind the line of scrimmage. You know, and you'll hear from Archie get his take on how it's affected by the interior lineman in the equation. But, yeah, man, here's a guy that also, big picture, playing for some money potentially. You know, they're going to have a decision about picking up that fifth year coming up.
It's not a contract year.
They picked up the fifth year, but they can always move on.
Yes, after the fifth year. But it's not, as I was going to say, it's not a contract year. But I do think this is a significant year for Vic Beasley as his career moves forward and how he's going to be defined. What is he? Is he a one-year wonder where he had one good season in the 4 or 5 since he's been here? I don't know. I'm hoping we're talking about it at the end of the year.
Jake Matthews will get a new contract extension going into that, or a new deal coming up.
Yeah, but we will see what kind of player he is ultimately. Listen, one season, and I said this when it happened, it was great, doesn't make your career. You got to be consistent in this league. And, you know, if you put up 15 sacks, that's great. But I said, from this point on now, we know you can do it. I need to see 10.
I mean, Vic had some monster numbers, had some games where he really – remember the Rams game where he just really took over the Rams?
Was it 3 sacks in that game?
And then, unfortunately, in the playoffs, I needed more of Vic Beasley. Now, some of that was because he wasn't 100%, but that's part of the equation. You know, it's got – if we've got to get more pressure, especially guys against these elite passers in the NFC who we're going to see a lot of this year.
All right, Mike and I talked a lot about Kelvin Benjamin with the Buffalo Bills going in on Cam Newton. Oh, Cam responds. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start right there. All right, let's rewind. For those who missed it, Benjamin came out over the weekend, basically said, I should have never been drafted by Carolina. Quarterback ain't no good. He's not accurate. He's not smart.
I mean, he really went in. And this is a guy that Cam basically said how much the guy had a great work ethic. Cam was kind of ticked off when he got traded, if you remember.
He did.
So, I mean, it was a one-way street. It was unrequited love. It was coming from the quarterback, and it was not received by Benjamin.
Yeah, and my whole thing was, Benjamin, why don't you get out there and run some more routes and cut back on the donuts, player? Nevertheless, he got traded. Now Cam was asked, Cam, did you hear what Benjamin said about you?
I ain't going to go back and forth with him. I'm just going to work. You feel me? That's all it is. You know what it is. Just work, baby.
No comment.
So, LeBron, I mean, Cam taking the high road.
And I love it. There's no reason to. They asked Greg Olsen, all pro tight end. Greg, did you hear what Benjamin said about Cam?
He was the MVP, wasn't he? No, but just in general, I mean, you play with an MVP quarterback. There's like four of them and five of them in the league right now, right?
Okay. I think Greg is on Cam's side. Then they went back.
Well, what? You're darn right he better be. He's in that locker room.
And then they went back to Benjamin, and Benjamin tried to temper the comments. Mike, uh-huh. Listen.
I mean, it was just a heat of the moment, man. You know,
liar.
Angry at the time, so. I mean, it just came out, so.
Any particular reason? Or
no, was that no, practice? No. I just was, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just got kind of frustrated. But like I said, man, I'm moving on from it.
No, it's kind of like that scene in Goodfellas. No, you said it, Henry. I want to know what you said it. How am I funny? No, in the case of Kelvin Benjamin, he did start the rant that we talked about yesterday with saying that he went through a lot in Carolina. Apparently, there was an illness and a family member that he had to take care of. Okay, I get that. But how does that come back to you crapping on your quarterback? And you said it. The words are out. Look, once a toothpaste out of the tube, Joe, you can't put it back in.
Somebody got called into the office. Somebody got called into the office. Listen to Benjamin again. Here's the deal. You talk about backtracking. If you said this about Cam, stand up and like, yeah, I said it, and this is how I feel. Mike, this is total. Benjamin, keep your mouth shut.
I mean, it was just a heat of the moment, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I was angry mm-hmm. at the time, so. I mean, it just came out, so.
Angry? Any particular reason? Or
no, it's not practice. No. I just was, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just got kind of frustrated. Mm-hmm. Like I said, man, I'm moving on from it.
All right, a lot of drops. That's why you're no longer a Panther. He had a lot of drops. He's sprinkled a lot of drops in amidst the 1,000-yard season. Interesting. Very interesting. And now they've got DJ Moore, who'll be up there with Funchess and Greg Olsen, and also we're going to be using McCaffrey out of the backfield. And again, as we've talked a lot about this offseason, Norv Turner trying to maximize the talent this time.
Cam, did you hear what he said, though?
I ain't going to go back and forth with him. I'm just going to work. You feel me?
I feel
that's
you, bro.
That's all it is. You know what it is.
Okay.
Just work, baby.
Just work.
All right. I feel you.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz segment brought
you feel
to you
me?
By Jim Ellis, Kia of Kennesaw. Just work. Odell Beckham Jr. is trying to work, Mike. They can't get a contract done. His agent apparently leaves without getting a deal done, and everybody's going, oh, no, here we go.
That's a negotiating tactic. That's all that is. Make a big flourish. Tell the media, I'm out of town.
Should we call our guy and
yeah,
have
good
him
luck
do
with
that?
Good luck with that.
And have him do that? I'm not talking. I'm not taking any calls.
Speaking of Florida, Florida's looking more and more attractive to me every day. I got to be honest with you. But no, man, as far as ODB, they were saying that it was, what, $16 million, which would be an insult. New York Post.
Whoa. $16 million. Isn't that what Julio wanted?
Yeah, but Odell's younger and he catches more touchdowns.
Okay.
But anyway, so Odell, I mean, he's right up there. It's either, you know, it's Antonio Brown, Odell. And we'll get to Antonio's health status in just a second. But, no, I'm just saying because he is a younger guy who's putting up big numbers. You know, granted, he had a number of touchdowns even with the injury last year when he went out. So I'm thinking the agent would probably start as what did we talk about earlier this year? Who was the agent that we had on? Might have been Pat Dye Jr. saying that maybe 20 or 19 would be the starting point for that negotiation for Odell Beckham.
Wow. All right, so this is what the numbers
look
like.
That's a starting point. You're not going to sign for that, but that's agent goes high, team goes low, and you're going to find that around 18.
Every five-year extension. So they say he's set to make $8.4 million this year. And you throw in the five-year extension, it becomes a package worth $93 million. The average per year on a six-year contract, $15.6 million, which you said, is below the $16 million per season mark. All right. You think they get that done, though?
Yeah.
I do,
mean,
too.
We're not talking about you and me money. We're talking about the unreality of the NFL. I mean, believe me, it's a hell of a deal. But, you know, and here's the other thing. If you're the Giants, I mean, this is a make-or-break year because Eli, you're eventually going to put him out to pasture. You got to see what you can do. That's a window. You could argue they got a one-year window with Eli as your quarterback because you're going to bring somebody new in, Carl, through the draft next year. Would you agree with me? You've got the tight end from Ole Miss. You've added Saquon Barkley, giving him a ton of money. And Odell, I mean, you should be able to, in that division, yeah, you're going to have to score some points.
Well, and I think they're trying to take a lot of that pressure off of Eli. I would not be surprised if Barkley, Saquon runs the ball a lot. You know, we talk about guys are not, don't run the ball like they used to. You know, backs that carry 25 mm-hmm. a game.
Right.
I just think they're trying to take a lot of pressure off of Eli.
I think Saquon Barkley's going to have like Ezekiel Elliott type numbers his first year. I agree with you.
I do too. Here is Odell Beckham talking about the contract situation.
You know, life's just different. I'm just happy. Honestly, for real, I'm just happy to be back out there running around. And like I said before, I don't believe in any of that stuff. I feel like they'll get it done when they get it done. It'll happen when it happens.
Okay. So he's confident. And here's the other part. He's showing up. He's doing what they're asking him to do. So I do think this is mm-hmm. it is going to get resolved. One thing that may not get resolved is Aaron Donald. Sean McVay. Atlanta's own. Marist High School, right? By the way, saw the real sports.
What'd you think of that?
It was very good.
How about the girlfriend?
She was sharp, too.
Yes. Got a lot on his plate, doesn't he?
Well, here's the deal. You're the youngest head coach of the NFL. You're living in the hills of Hollywood.
Yes, he is.
You know, you got a great view of the city and mm-hmm. your team.
And a great view on your couch.
Your team's pretty good. He did admit, though. He said, my girlfriend probably gets me noticed more than I do.
Like, he's a likable guy. He reminds me of when you see the old videos of a young Dick Vermeil, when Dick Vermeil went from UCLA to the Patriots. Not the movie that Greg Kinnear plays in, but you get the idea. He was a real energy guy that people responded to despite being so young.
Here's Sean McVay talking about Aaron.
That? Eagles. Patriots. I'm sorry. When Dick Vermeil went to the Eagles, not the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, as a young coach. Late 70s? Early 80s, maybe?
Mid-70s.
Yeah. Here is Sean McVay on Aaron Donald.
I don't think anything's going to change with that in the near future. You know, I've had a little bit of dialogue with Aaron, and, you know, we're hopeful that we'll get something done, but I don't think there's any real, you know, realistic deal to kind of that August 7th being a date that changes really anything. But you never know, and, you know, things remain the same. I'm looking forward to trying to connect with him later on today, and, you know, kind of we'll see where we're at.
You got Brandon Cooks. You got Cooper Kupp. Who am I forgetting in that wide receiver corps? They got a bunch of guys, man. There's a bunch. That's what I'm curious. How much of an impact does Brandon Cooks have? Or does he get to 1,000 yards this year?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many weapons.
Well, I think they needed another guy. You know, Sammy Watkins was mm-hmm. whatever they thought he was, and they moved on. But I think Brandon Cooks takes the top off. Ask Tom Brady. I mean, he did the job for them last year. The Patriots, you know, parlayed that into some picks, and I still think they're going to be really good. But, yeah, man, I think with the arm of Goff, they're going to be throwing the ball deep a lot.
Well, Robert Woods, by the way, had big numbers last year, too.
He did.
So it's Cooks, Woods, you got Cooper Kupp. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. And I know a lot of guys look at Goff and go, yeah, whatever. That's another team that's going to score a lot of points in the NFC this year.
Well, they led the league last year in that category. They were the number one offense. We went out there and played them in the playoffs. Didn't take that for granted, but we shut them down. The biggest thing in that game, we've never even asked Coach Quinn about this, but if you go back and look, the open field tackling was amazing.
On Todd Gurley.
It was amazing.
How about that?
One-on-one situations in space, and guys were making plays all night long. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz.
We still had like four of what Matt Bryan field goals in that game.
Julio scored. Last but not least, Frank Gore has high praise for Kenyon Drake. Now, here's the deal. For those who don't remember, Jay Ajayi came in here. This was the Dolphins game last season. So frustrating. We're up 17-0 at halftime, and we blow it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Jay Cutler was the quarterback. Ajayi had a really good game against us. But right after that, I think a few weeks after, they traded Jay Ajayi to the Eagles. And everybody's going, well, we don't get this. What's going on?
Right.
So now Frank Gore is a part of that running back core down there. Now, Gore's old, guys. He's 35 years old. But 24-year-old Kenyon Drake, he's saying is the truth. Coming out, Frank Gore talking about this in the Palm Beach Post. He says, listen, Jay Ajayi, when the Dolphins moved on from him last season, I was like, man. But I kind of see why they traded Ajayi. Talking about his teammate now, Drake, saying this kid can do it all. And, Mike, I don't know what people expect of Kenyon Drake, but you said it from a fantasy perspective. He might be under the radar, but Frank Gore, who has been a really good running back in this league for a long time, giving him major props.
Yeah, we talked to Kenyon Drake. You were on one of your many vacations. Randy McMichael was filling in.
It's earned.
And we were talking, it was Dolphin to Dolphin. And, yeah, Kenyon Drake's a guy, if you base it on where they're going to go with this offense, could definitely be a 1,000-yard guy for you. So if you're looking for that running back, by the time you're doubling back and you're snaking a draft, go grab yourself some Kenyon Drake, man. Lamar Miller, Kenyon Drake. Be ready for that. Don't you? You know what? Why am I even telling you this? You start snaking me on my own fantasy.
No, I just started mock drafting myself. Our draft is a couple weeks ago.
Who you taking with three? Who you taking?
It's personal. I will tell you that I am engaged in mock drafting. Now, unlike Mike, I don't mock in May, okay? Mm-hmm. You do mock in May.
I mocked this morning.
Okay. So I am now getting a feel for what I want to do this particular draft. My strategy has changed, by the way.
Well, so what's it there? Well, first of all, I didn't know there was a strategy. Secondly, what is the strategy?
My strategy
is this is exciting stuff here.
Here's the strategy, mm-hmm. Mike Bell. How about I don't draft someone that gets hurt in the first week like I have the last three seasons when my team has been decimated by injuries and I've not been able to overcome and be the successful, rightful king of our league like I should be.
Right. David Johnson, by the way, I think your winning percentage is in the, like, I think, about 35% right now because those injuries have killed you. You didn't take the stinker prize, though. That went to Artie from the Vortex.
Yeah, I wasn't dead last. I mean, but still, there's nothing worse in fantasy football, guys, than the guy you draft one overall to get hurt in week one.
No, it's the absolute buzzkill. I had Tom Brady the year he blew his knee out. Matt Castle took them not to the playoffs. They won 11 games.
Did you pick up Castle that year?
Yeah, I mean, he got good decent numbers, but yeah, I mean, but still, that is a buzzkill for you.
Would you take Brady and win?
I think you in our league, because we're weighted towards quarterbacks, I take Brady in the second round. I think Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, first three quarterbacks.
Every year, guys are like, Brady's toast. He's done. And he throws 35 touchdowns.
You know, here's real quick. I hope you guys, if you're not fantasy football guys, we are big fantasy football fans. And for guys that have to go, I don't like this fantasy football. Well, get some friends and have some fun in the league because it's a blast. How about Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins, Thielen and Diggs, a healthy Dalvin Cook coming back off the injury, good tight end. And now you've got a better delivery system than Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins this year. Does that interest you?
It does.
How about Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think Cousins is going to have a monster year based on the weapons he has around him. Thielen and Diggs. And he gets Dalvin Cook back.
Right, right.
Who else? Oh, I told you. Deshaun Watson, but
I just said Garoppolo just because now you could argue they don't have a superstar wide receiver core, but the tight end for the 49ers, because you know how much we'd like to see the tight end get the ball in that Kyle Shanahan offense. So there could be some hidden gems with the 49ers for you fantasy pickers.
All right, you'll hear Dave Archer coming up, but first, your chance to win $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Do you ever want to just launch something across the room at one of your coworkers?
Every damn day.
L-A-U-N-C-H.
Launch. Launch. L-A-U-N-C-H. Launch goes to 72881. If you're new to the station, this is a nationwide contest we do. And we already given away $7,000 here on the radio station. Launch gets texted to 72881.
It's funny. If you would have told me 25 years ago, which is the truth, fantasy football is for nerds, I would have probably told you, 2018, it's a billion-dollar business. Mm-hmm. I agree with Mike. If you're not playing or enjoying it or you don't get it, well, all right. Sorry. Hey, man, coming up, Dave Archer next. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and as we approach the first preseason game with our Falcons taking on the Jets on Friday, our man Dave Archer hanging out with us here in studio today, and we wanted to grab Dave for a few minutes, Mike, to talk about a variety of things. I mean, listen, we saw the first week of camp, and there are a lot of things to talk about, but let's start with what impressed you most. What have you seen that you kind of went, wow?
Well, I think there's some things that probably from a layman fan standpoint, you're going to have to wait for it to happen in the game. But there's some pretty cool combinations that I see coming up from a play call standpoint, both in the field and the red zone from our offensive side of the football. Some of the ways they're using in combination the backs with the receivers, maybe a tight split from Jones and Coleman motions out of the backfield just beyond Julio. And then you stand up and you throw a quick screen to Coleman. Jones is in front blocking. Or you pump fake to Coleman, and Jones is running down the field with Ridley dragging across the front. Just little combination stuff that shows me that they're really using a lot of imagination to try to create opportunities for each one of these guys to get the ball. I remember playing – I was fortunate enough to be around Joe Gibbs in his heyday. And they had three guys to catch the football: Art Monk, Gary Sanders, Ricky Clark. And then they had a guy in the backfield named Kelvin Bryant. Okay. He would stay up at night, Monday and Tuesday night, to create opportunities, five opportunities for each guy. So you'd come in and say, okay, today this formation is this, and this is the way we're going to get Gary Clark the ball. And I don't know if they're doing that, but that's kind of what I'm seeing. Kind of they're getting the laboratory coats on and trying to create some stuff.
You recognize the voices. Dave Archer with us. He and Wes Drew Ham. We'll have the call from MetLife coming up on Friday against Gangrene. So we were at practice. We were talking about the same stuff. All the media elite that was assembled.
Elite?
Look at what was going down. But, I mean, yeah, just trying to get those mismatches, because I think you said it the other day at practice. I mean, there's so much talent out there. Calvin Ridley, Sanu, who's going to benefit from all these new tweaks?
Well, I think they all, everybody with a team will. You know, when you've got that many guys, it can create problems. Now, think about it. If I'm a defensive coordinator and I go in and I watch tape on the Falcons on Monday, because that's when we start game planning. I'm going to put my defensive game plan together. And if I see the variety of uses for all these guys across the board, now, what the hell are you going to do? Okay, you can't double this guy because that guy will kill you. Okay, do we play zone? Now Ryan wears you out, completes 35 passes in a game because you're playing a soft zone, just works the ball down the field. So it does create problems for game planning, because I've got to put together a game plan on Monday and Tuesday, that I introduce on Wednesday. I can't still be coming up with a game plan on Wednesday. I got 2 days to get ready for these guys, and then I've got to give them as much information as I can, show them as many looks, draw as much stuff up as on cards that I can show them physically in practice that they can get a rep on. Well, if there's a variety of stuff, it makes it really difficult to rep everything. So now I got to go the basic stuff, and what are you leaving out? And that's the stuff that'll touch you on a Sunday.
Dave Archer joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we talk Falcons. There is a great piece that we're talking about today on the show in regards to Matt Ryan, and it's the first time that we've heard Matt talk about the pregnancy, the issues from last season. And if you've not checked it out, Mike and I have been talking about it today, but I want to get your opinion on this, because as I read through this piece, it's by Jeff Schultz from The Athletic. It points out that he's human. As he went through these things with his wife last year, we didn't know he's spending the night at the hospital sleeping with her while he's trying to get ready for that Eagles game. And I think it kind of puts things in perspective. Now, Matt didn't play bad, but it also helps us understand how much was going on and how he had to focus on the game. And it just gets to the growth of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think that you make a great point, Carl, in the fact when you start talking about the human side of it. We see him as these superheroes playing football, and you don't realize that they've got lives just like we all do. We all are dealing with stuff each and every day during the week. You and I both have kids, and there's things that go on there that you worry about. You know, is one of them sick? One of them's got something going on in school? Is there something going on with a boyfriend? Whatever it is, you've got those worries that supersede your work. But you still got to get your job done. So you can imagine him trying to play at the highest level with the fact that his wife is having this really difficult pregnancy, and are the kids going to survive? And frankly, I went through the same thing. We had twins that were prematurely born at 29 weeks. We were told that one of them was not going to survive. My wife went on bed rest at 15 weeks and spent the next 14 weeks on bed rest. And that's kind of some of the things that Sarah was going through. And then when they're born, now they've got heart monitors on them. They're trying to make sure that their lungs are fully developed. And this is all stuff that doesn't have anything to do with football. Yet you got a guy getting ready to try to go beat the Eagles in their building in a playoff game. That really magnifies kind of who he is, and I think that shows you how much he cares about both, obviously, his family, but how much he cares about his job as well.
Dave Archer's with us, guys. If you just tuned in talking about that, to Jeff Schultz article in The Athletic about Matt Ryan and everything that was going on in his life. All right, so now it's time for a preseason. What are we looking for? Obviously, we don't want to see the starters go too deep.
Yeah.
After us bellyaching about Julio for all offseason. Yeah. I mean, it is important to get a rhythm. Matt did tell us at a press conference the other day about the rhythm and the reps. It is part of the process.
Yeah, I will tell you, Mike, and I know you're very interested in how many reps they got at the back shoulder fade in the end zone.
I want to know.
They practiced post-practice now. This was a player-run drill. So Ryan was with Ridley, Jones, Sanu, Hardy, and then both running backs, and they worked on red zone throws from like the 7-yard line, throwing back shoulder fades, front shoulder fades, pylon throws, wheel routes from the slot, all that kind of stuff. So they were working on that. But to answer your question, you're right, Mike. You're not going to see these guys for very long, maybe a series. If they went 3 and out, you might kick them back in there, but maybe not. This is going to be more about some of these younger players, and I'm not talking about Calvin Ridley. I think Ridley will play. But I'm talking about some of these guys that are maybe going to infiltrate themselves into Keith Armstrong's special teams units and stuff. I'm really going to be interested to watch that part of it, because remember, the rules have changed on the kick game, and you can't have the wedge, two-man wedge. You get this area where they have this set area where 9 of the of the 11 players or 8 of the 11 players have to be in an area about 15 yards from where you kick from. Only 3 guys can be deep, which eliminates wedges. So what does that do body-wise? Okay, am I going to have the big guy on the field? No, probably not. Now it's going to be more linebackers, safeties, covering kicks, and also blocking for the kicks. So it's going to be interesting to see if how much that changes, because you're going to be playing more in space in that area. So that's what I'm looking for, those guys that are going to step up and help contribute in that area, as well as obviously contribute on defense and offense.
Arch, we had a chance to talk to Brandon Fusco. It is Fusco, not Fusco. And we make jokes. But he seems to
we
be
all make jokes.
He seems to be a guy that gets it. He's happy to be here. He said he had a conversation with Kyle Shanahan before he came, and Shanahan was like, look, you're going to a great place. I think you can help those guys, and he's coming with the right attitude. Is he better than what we currently have on the O-line, and is he going to shore up the right guard spot is my question.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's going to have to play out, Carl, during the preseason. I think that Quinn's been very adamant about the fact that both those guys are getting reps. We're talking about Schweitzer and Fusco, and Lavitre coming off injury as well. I mean, there's a little bit of a rotation in there, and also Garland sliding in some. Douglas is another kid that's going to factor. He can play center. So watch that interior four. It might not be the guys you think are going to play. And I think anybody that thinks that Wes Schweitzer is going to be the same player he was last year that he is this year, totally wrong. You can't be. He played 16 regular season games, played in the playoffs. He saw a whole bunch of stuff he'd never seen before prior to last year. He's going to be a better player, so he's putting up a pretty good fight for his job.
And just to follow up on Schweitzer, because we talked about it the other day at practice, I saw they had them both rotating left and right guard, and right. They do the cross-training thing. So you're saying is stop bailing on Schweitzer because he might just be important this year.
Yeah, I think that there's no question he's going to be important from a depth standpoint if he's not the starter, Mike. If Fusco does end up starting, you really like the guy that you're plugging in. Remember last year we had to plug Garland. You thought, can he play?
Right.
Can he play guard? You know, we saw him play, make a sack in a playoff game, but that's not playing guard. So, and he did okay, but now you've got some real depth.
It's Dave Archer with us here on Dukes and Bell. Him and Wes with the call, guys. The Jets are taking on the Falcons on Friday right here on 92.9 The Game. So also, speaking of guys I've killed, Hooper, great draft class for tight ends, and they said stay loyal. And then we talked to Hooper. Carl did the interview where Hoops talked about literally he'd be at like Matt's front door like, you want to play catch? So he's putting the work in, you know, 500 catches and all that. Is that a guy where we expect him to see the touchdowns increase?
It has to, Mike. I think he has to step up. Not only touchdowns, but even though we were number one in the league on third down on offense a year ago, he's got to help contribute in that area. And Matt's got to know that he can throw in the ball and the ball's going to be caught. We had a couple of instances where they were tipped off his hands, picked off. One ended a game for us. I believe the Miami game, we lost the Miami game on a ball that was off his chest down in the red zone going in. I think he's got to contribute in all areas, and he's got to step up his game. There's a couple guys on this team that have to step up his game. He's one of them as a starter. I'm looking at Duke Riley. Riley's got to step up. He was drafted high. He's got to step up and contribute. Expect DeMonte Casey to take his game to another level as well. Tells you a little bit about, I know you guys have been talking about Ricardo Allen and his new deal. It says a lot about what they think about Ricardo. But it also is going to be interesting to see how they play that. Ricardo stays in the back end. Casey is a guy they love because he can get to the football. 15 interceptions in college. He's already made a couple picks. You guys were out there when he had the pick six for the touchdown in the scrimmage. He's a guy they'd like to get on the field because of his coverage ability and tackling ability. So now does Keanu Neal play nickel linebacker with a bigger body opposite Debo? And now Casey comes in as a dime player. So that's going to be fun to watch that matchup as well.
That's interesting. And here's the deal. Arch is saying we've got a lot of flexibility on defense, maybe as much as we've had in many years here with the kind of players that Quinn has brought in. You know, we talk about this versatility and guys playing different positions. We're not talking about that. We're saying in nickel and dime packages, which you're in a lot, 70% of the time, you have all these combinations that you can go to. We've not talked a lot about the defense. It's Dave Archer with us here on Dukes and Bell. I think that's a function of we all think this defense is going to be pretty good, right?
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about the offense, but we kind of all think, we hope, the defense is going to be really good.
Yeah, I think hope, you're kind of guarded. It was a top 10 defense for the first time in Matt Ryan's career as a coach or as a quarterback. He's got a top 10 defense. Now, how do we cash that in? They've got to improve in the red zone as well defensively. They got to, you need, what you would like to see them do is climb into the top, may not be a top 5 numbers-wide, but a top 5 defense scoring defense. Keep people off of the board and improve on third down. Two areas, third down, red zone defense is where I like to see them improve. I know you guys have been talking a lot about Tack McKinley. He had a really good practice today, was very much involved in what was going on, was part of the rotation. So I know all of us were a little bit concerned, you know, because of the banged up shoulder. It was the one that had gotten hurt in college, but it was a bruise. It was not any kind of tear or anything like that. It was just a bruise. He was back getting after it, setting the edge, getting after the pass. So that was good to see.
Dave Archer with us here live in studio. We're just talking about the pass rush yesterday and seeing, you know, Vic and Tack. How big a year is this for Vic Beasley? You know, to see, is he a double-digit guy? Does he fit? Because there's going to be one odd man out on these contracts at some point.
Well, I think that Vic has got to take his game back up to where at least you're seeing 8 or 10 sacks. Now, does he need to be 15 and a half like he was a couple years ago? That'd be great. I think Tack's going to be more impactful. And watch for maybe a little bit better interior pass rush with Jack Crawford on the field. Jack's got a little bit of shake to him on the inside. Obviously, you know how Grady can create problems on the inside. I think if you start paying too much attention to those guys on the perimeter, and let's hope they create problems where I'm having to expend resources to take care of both Tack and Vic coming off the edge, where we can get some interior push. You guys talk about it all the time. How do you affect the quarterback the most? That's that interior push through guys, especially guys like Drew Brees.
Dave, it's always a pleasure. Good to see you. And, guys, you'll listen to him on Friday. Of course, all of the action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game throughout the course of the season, as we are your official home of the Atlanta Falcons. Dave Archer, talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Keep laying it down.
That's our man, Arch. We'll come back with Mike Conte in case you missed it right here on The Game, man.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Too busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's waste no time and find out what's going on with Mike Conte. Hey, guys, less than 20 minutes. We will talk about the Dogs and let you hear from Jim Chaney, OC, and Mel Tucker, the DC at Georgia. What's up, Mike Conte?
You know, Carl, there are some times where I look at my Twitter timeline, timeline on the gram, on the snap, things like that. I see certain celebrities posting things. I just shake my head. What are you doing? What are you doing? And this comes up on my timeline from overnight. See if you can figure out who this is.
You know me. All of my people is felons.
Come on, Ricky. You know I don't like that but being a felon ain't all bad.
Being a felon ain't all that bad. You know whose voice that was?
No.
I'll play it for you one more time.
You know me. All of my people is felons.
Come on, Ricky. You know I don't like that but being a felon ain't all bad.
That's Orenthal James Simpson.
What?
He is at his favorite neighborhood bar in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Mm.
That's one of the bar flies, I guess, at the bar that he frequents. Mm. And they filmed that and put it on his Instagram last night.
Why? Why?
I don't get it.
No, I don't either.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't even think that's funny. Really.
It's not.
I mean, I don't know if he was trying to be funny or what.
I mean, you could argue as funny. He went to jail for the wrong crime, but, I mean, he did, you know, spend some time with the Huskow, but not
he
for
did.
Cutting off two people's heads.
He was not convicted of that, but he was convicted of armed robbery, trying to retrieve some sports memorabilia, and that's why he's in Nevada right now, because he was a guest of the state of Nevada for a very long time.
So he can't go to his daughter's house in Florida, right? He's got to stay?
You know, actually, I don't know that.
Mm.
I don't know if it's by choice that he's still in Nevada, or if he can go to Florida, I don't know. But, you know, there's the story. TMZ kind of dug into this video last night. There is this, you know, basically toilet bar in the suburbs of Vegas that OJ hangs out at. And he's like Norm from Cheers. He walks in, everyone goes, OJ. And he buys everyone shots, and he films Instagram videos.
What's the name of the bar, Mike? Do we know?
Well, it's not the toilet bar, I can tell you that.
No, there is one. Carl and I have only been off the strip.
This is off the strip.
Yeah, we've only been off the strip.
It's definitely off strip.
Yeah, there's a little dive bar we went to that one time. We were killing time before we were going to a certain club.
I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe, you know what? Maybe it wasn't you. That's right. It wasn't you.
I don't remember, honestly.
What kind of club was it? Like a country club?
No, no. It was like it was a little dive bar over by the...
No, no. What club are you going to?
Experiment Rhino. But,
Social club, right?
Yes.
Social
club.
I'm trying to... Now you got me thinking about this. There are a bunch of places that are actually very cool. You guys know if you've been out there.
No,
that are off the strip.
Absolutely.
That, you know, the locals will tell you this is a cool place to go check out. But I'm not familiar with this particular spot.
No.
But either way, bad decision by OJ.
Yeah, I shake my head when I see things like that. I think this is interesting. It's not necessarily funny, but it makes you kind of think a little bit about the value of your Twitter handle, your Twitter account.
Mm.
Okay, this just happened this morning in Roanoke, Virginia. The newspaper there, the Roanoke Times, went to federal district court and filed a lawsuit against one of their former reporters. Okay, there's this guy. His name is Andy Bitter.
Okay.
Covered Virginia Tech, one of Mike's favorite teams, for the Roanoke Times. And then he left to go to The Athletic. Well, his Twitter handle is at AndyBitterVT. And the VT standing for Virginia Tech, obviously. Right. The Roanoke Times is arguing they own that Twitter handle.
Oh.
Because when he became the Virginia Tech beat guy a couple years ago, he took it over from someone else.
Right.
He just changed the name from the old guy, Kyle Tucker, to AndyBitterVT. And he's got 27,000 followers now. The Roanoke Times says, that's not his. That's ours. We want it back, and we're suing him. Because remember now, he's going to a competitor. Now, you may be thinking, well, what legal grounds would they have for that? It's the guy's Twitter handle, right?
Legal grounds do they have?
According to the lawsuit, Andy Bitter signed something in the company handbook when he took over the beat in 2011 saying that all Twitter handles were the property of the newspaper.
Well, that seems open and shut.
One would think. However, there are some First Amendment lawyers and attorneys who are digging into this who think that Andy Bitter might have a case to actually hold on to his Twitter account. And the argument that they're making in the lawsuit is if they were to start a new Twitter handle for their new Virginia Tech beat guy, they would not get to 27,000 followers anytime soon.
No, they would not. That would take a little time. The documents that we signed here, they did not read that way, right?
Anyone? No, if I say something really stupid again, then they can come after you.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think they own, you know, Mike Bell ATL is mine. Mine! But I can still get fired over it because I signed the document that Mike Conti did not sign.
Yeah.
No, I did not sign it. I did not, no. I mean, that's why, like, for example, this next story. I would love right now to be able to tweet this photo out and tell you where I'm tweeting it, but I did not sign the document. So, you know, we're going to have to get the show page to tweet this out for me. Did you see the mugshot of Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks? Remember that movie from the early 90s?
Yeah. Great movie.
When they were all kids? Yeah, terrific movie.
Cute
little kids. Emilio Estevez is part of a plea deal for DUI, coaches them. They're up in Minnesota, and these rascally kids, a bunch of ragtag kids from the tough streets of Minneapolis, go on and win a hockey championship, right? And Goldberg was their goalie, okay? And here's a photo of him back in happier times. Healthy-looking young man, right?
Good-looking kid.
Yeah, here's Goldberg now.
Oh, my!
Yeah, isn't that unbelievable?
I mean, this is like Nick Nolte levels of mugshot.
What happened?
Crack is a powerful drug.
Well, I don't know if it was specifically that, but
Oh, meth. My bad, meth.
Also unclear if that was exactly what it was, but he was
arrested. Bath salts.
Also not confirmed. He was arrested over the weekend in Sacramento for public intoxication. It spent a couple hours in the drug tank. It was released. He has been in jail, in and out of jail, quite a bit, though. This poor guy, his real name is not Goldberg. His real name is Sean Weiss. And he was arrested a year ago for possession of meth.
Okay.
Then he got arrested again.
You said it.
Thrown in jail for 150 days. Because he stole items from an electronics store.
To make more meth.
$150 worth, by the way.
That's not going to get you much meth.
No.
So here's the deal. And again, it's in case you missed it with Mike Conti. If you've never seen this movie, in Mighty Ducks, you guys have no idea. But this was a guy that had a promising acting career. Everybody thought most of these guys would take off. And some of those kids went on to become very good actors.
I think the guy who was in Dawson's Creek, Pacey.
Right. Right.
Was in that. Many of the kids. I think the girl went on to do some things as well. This guy.
Bum.
Emilio Estevez went on to get killed in Mission Impossible. Hasn't been heard from since.
No, that's true as well. This guy looks like he's, I mean, how old do you think he
looks? He looks like he's 60. Yeah,
he looks like he's 60. Unbelievable. He's 38 years old.
Well, the teeth, the meth screws up the teeth, so he's got this face.
Wait, show me that again.
Yeah.
He's how old?
38.
No way.
That is a 38-year-old man.
Wow.
And for those of you who are not driving and following along on Twitter, you have no doubt seen this photo by now on
the show page.
The show page.
Yes.
Yes.
It's been retweeted, right, Bo?
Yes. I didn't hear Bo.
Yes, he did. He's very enthusiastic, as he always is.
Yeah, so that's what Goldberg's up to now.
His enthusiasm is contagious.
And no, I have not signed the paperwork, so no, I can't tell you what my Twitter handle is. But if they fire me here and try to sue me for it, they have no case.
Yeah, you're keeping your Twitter.
I own it, not them.
Yeah, you're keeping your Twitter account.
That's right.
Interesting stuff, man. Here's the deal. Make sure you know what you're signing, by the way. That's the gist of that. Mike Conti, in case you missed it. Hey, we'll get you caught up on what's going on with the Bravos coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But coming up next, guys, we'll talk dogs. What are the challenges for Mel Tucker, the defensive coordinator, and the OC at Georgia? His name is Jim Chaney. You'll hear from him next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.